Welcome to the Frontier Banter.
All right. Hello, everyone. This is Colonel Derek Baird, the U.S. Army Garrison, Fort Sill, Oklahoma Commander, and I am here with...
Command Sergeant Major Bill Pearson, Fort Sill Garrison CSM, for 8 more days.
For 8 more days. Why are you smiling like that? That's a little creepy.
Because it's time to hang it up.
Hey, this is our 10th episode, and we started this... last year on November, just Sergeant Major Bill Pearson and I riffing off each other and BSing on the mic, and it's turned into something really great. And this is something that he and I talked about when I first showed up a year ago. And like Bill said, it is his last hurrah. This is your last official Sergeant Major Bill Pearson, Garrison Sergeant Major podcast.
Absolutely.
Frontier Banter as the Sergeant Major. We might bring you back in though.
Yeah, you can. Next time I come back, it'll be as Bill Pearson. So that'll be perfect.
Oh, yeah. We could talk fantasy football prep and all these other things and how my team sucks this year.
Both my teams won last week, so I am killing it.
Mine did not. I was out of 8 people in our league, I was 8th in the draft. So,
oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
I'm doing a revamp on some of my team. But, hey, I had to pull an upset this week, so I'm 1-2. I'm not over like some teams are. And I'm not a Cowboys fan, but I am 1-2 like the Cowboys. So, there's that.
Maybe this will be your year, just like the Cowboys every year is their year.
There's 30 years of data that proves that wrong. For you, yes. Cowboys fans out here, I am for sure a Commanders fan. And, you know, Sergeant Major Pearson's a big old Bills fan.
I'm a Bills guy.
Oh, yeah.
I had a rough decade in the 90s.
We've had a rough 20-something years as a Washington team. And here we go, right? And here we go. All right. Hey, so I'm going to kind of turn over you for some initial, like, what you think about the podcast. But really more like your thoughts on the Garrison, and you know, we'll just kind of dovetail off that.
Yeah. So my thoughts on the podcast, I thought this was a great idea. So I'm involved in another one that's not military related, but I think this is a great way for us to get different, you know, directorates and people involved with the Garrison, or like the last one, the local community's voices out there, and really help teach our listeners, which are growing, hopefully they'll continue to grow, about how the Garrison works and how they work with the local community.
Yeah, you know, it's you and I have been to multiple different events, you know, because presence matters, and, mm-hmm. and we both enjoy this, and it is fascinating when folks come up to us and say, hey, we love your podcast, or hey, we love your physical challenges, and we're always shocked to be like, you listen to this?
Yeah, I mean, when we first started out, I mean, I didn't think we'd have that many followers, but it's growing. Yeah. You know, I think word of mouth happens, and I think we riff off each other well.
I agree.
Which is everything with the podcast. And then we've had great guests. We've had great guests. So every one of our episodes I've listened to, and some are better than others, just like everything else. But all in all, I think it's been great.
Oh, yeah. Well, in this one, I know we're going to talk about some dirty houses and whatnot, and your and maybe your top three, your top five list, your coffee table book, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd like to get into, for you there, Sergeant Major, is what were your thoughts when you first found out you were coming here as the Garrison Command Sergeant Major? I know we kind of talked about it, but really, like, how that's evolved over the past couple of years, you know, what you thought and then where you ended up.
Yeah, so, you know, I spent all of my time doing force comp stuff. So yeah. I was always in a deployable unit. I did some time with 7th Special Forces Group as a JTAC with them for a while. So I was the acting brigade CSM at 17th FA up at JBLM, just finished my battalion CSM time when I got the email to come down here. Initially, when you're a force comm guy, you know, you're a little upset.
What? Really?
And at the same time, you don't even really and truly know what you're getting into. But then when you take the seat and you do the job for a little bit, you start to realize you have a much larger effect on soldiers, Marines, you know, the whole gamut. You have more effect on people's lives on an installation than you ever possibly would if you were, a regular brigade command team. Because you're now you're affecting whether lights turn on, you're affecting morale, you're affecting the welfare of everyone.
The gates opening and life closing.
Key gate west. And at the same time, you have to get used to just being public enemy number one.
Yeah.
When there's any hiccup in life or any minor inconvenience, it is everything is your fault. And it's just, hey, people want to vent about Key Gate West being down and it's my fault or hunting stuff, so be it. But what you can do for an installation and helping service members is just much greater than you thought it would be.
Yeah. We've talked about this a lot, and when we sit around the old, solo stove, the old smokeless fire pit out of the side of the house there and, smoke stogies and drink some bourbon and hang out, the dogs are out there with everybody. And we talk about this is our problems are our problems. I see like Garrison, like internal, like our directorates, and then everybody else's problems is also our problems. And I find that to be a great challenge. And I don't say that in a negative way. I say that and it's a challenge that allows us to take a look at different problem sets, we'll call it from force com language or whatever, tactical, operational, and strategic level challenges and ways to come up with some solutions. Now, I got to say, this has really been one of the best relationships, not just us NCO officer at this level, but with all the brigade level command teams.
Absolutely.
And the battalion and all our directorates and the city.
Yeah. And I've said it, and I'm really not trying to toot our horn, but again, in my 25 years that I'll be bowing out with, I've never seen a better relationship between an installation and its local community ever. Not even close.
Yeah.
And we have been very blessed we have a great relationship with every command team on installation. So, which helps you solve problems so much faster and without a lot of the bureaucratic stuff that you normally would have to go through. Now it's just, I can text any sergeant major on this installation and we can tackle a problem within seconds.
I mean, so for the broader audience, just a couple, 3 weeks ago, we had a missing teenager.
Yeah.
And not going to get into details, but young man was found, found off the installation actually. But here's what I thought was really, really great. The response from the community. I sent a text out our little brigade commander chat group. You did the same thing with the sergeant's major chat group. And then it just went viral.
Within an hour, we had hundreds of volunteers. That's not even an exaggeration.
No, and then our great PAO team is running this behind the show.
Poor PAO.
Yeah,
the amount of work we put on them in a matter of seconds.
hey, let's spin this up. And we had, we had a really good incident command post down there, Electra. We had our support crew back here with the IOC, with the operations center here at the headquarters. And just that supported versus supporting relationship with those two command and control nodes, but then all of the support from the community. I mean, you're right. Like we were out walking the wood line right there on North Boundary Road and you see coming the opposite direction towards Letra, this line of trucks. And most of them were hunters in their garb. Like we know this area, and we had folks, we had external dog rescue folks come out and help. But I said, because that relationship with the community matters with the local police, our team. Man, it was absolutely fantastic, and we still talk about it, obviously. But I've had people come up like, "Hey, man, I really appreciate it. This is really great." Just random folks like, "You guys did a great job." Not us personally, but the community.
Oh yeah, I was even surprised at how fast people got out there.
You're right. Within an hour.
I mean, hundreds. Insane. We had over 100 people in the first, I think, 35 minutes of two text messages going out saying, "Hey, we could use some volunteers."
Yeah.
And then, how fast Colonel White got a water buffalo out there for water for everyone.
That's right. Yeah, 434 with water.
Everybody just crushed it.
Yeah, our DES and DBTMS team passing out additional radios for folks.
And how well DES ran the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Incredible. And then accepted those volunteers and started grouping them up. Because if you've never done this in a rapid manner without a good SOP and emergency response, it is difficult. But the good thing is we have a good team for that.
Yeah, they did fantastic.
Yeah, and it was absolutely amazing. I was like, man, I can't. And it took we put the notification out about 8:08.
About that.
And I think about an hour later, people were just crashing down. And then, it was crazy. But it was really great. It goes to the relationship piece that you just talked mm-hmm. about, you know? And so, hey, when you first got here, what was something that was on your mind? Like, okay, I'm here. I'm Sergeant Major Bill, the go to Pearson, you know? And, what did you want out of this job and how did it change?
I mean, when you first get here, like, I had no idea what I wanted out of the job. I was still trying to figure out what in God's name a garrison CSM did, right? Because, you know, when I was a battalion CSM, a brigade CSM up at JBLM, we had a great one. Sergeant Major Petty, who went on to become the armorer commandant CSM. But and I didn't interact with him that much, right? So I really didn't know what one did. Like, I saw him at barrack stakeholder meetings. I saw him with, like, boss stuff. But day to day, if you asked me what he did, I couldn't tell you. So when I got here, one, I want to learn what we did. And it throws you off because you realize green suitor-wise, what did we have? And any given day, we had between
20,
23 green suitors.
Yeah.
So you're like, what am I going to be doing with 23 people? Right? Then you realize that it's not about green suitors. It's the one thing that I constantly put out is that I'm your sergeant major too, is you're the sergeant major for all the civilian employees too. You represent everyone. It's your organization. And so really what I wanted to get out of it was to let everyone know that regardless of whether you're wearing a uniform or whatever you wear to work every day, is that I'm your sergeant major too. And we all got to come together and solve whatever problems it is to keep this machine that is Fort Sill running.
Yeah. You know, and it's great as we walk around because, you know, we do a lot of battlefield circ because you kind of have to. I mean, death side leadership is poor leadership, if you ask me. I mean, you got to do it sometimes for administrivia mm-hmm. and some other things. But getting out there, hearing from not only the directors and the branch chiefs, but everybody, and kind of getting their perspective of, the pit crew, you know, and where we're going. Because, you know, especially in this day and age now where we've taken a lot of resource cuts and it's challenging. But you know what I found? And you said this the other day is the morale of our force is pretty darn good.
It is.
The stress is a little higher because of some of the things that we're doing. But you know what we talked about? Like with this resource constraint, you know, innovation comes out of that and how to make things better. And we started to see that over the past 6 months.
It is important not to confuse morale and stress, right? So you can have high morale and be stressed a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think the stress is higher, like you said, because there's a resource constraint and a personnel constraint. But people are stressed because our people are just fantastic and they just want to succeed.
That's right.
At all times. And, you know, that gets stressful when you have half the manning and double the workload, right? Mm-hmm. So, but that's the other thing. So, you know, when you're a battalion commander or a battalion CSM, it's easy to see every one of your people every day if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. On a garrison, that's impossible, right? Because you're spread out to the four winds. So I thought I'm sure we'll get to it at the end, but that'd be one of my biggest advice I'm going to give to my replacement, Sergeant Major Inglis, is get out and see it. Because we have people out there that are busting their butts every day.
Yeah.
You know, sitting in a cubicle busting out PCS orders or working every day on work orders with DPW. It's important for us to get out and see them and just, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Or just giving a simple thank you goes further than anybody would think.
Bro, I mean, we've passed out a ton of coins.
Yeah.
And and we do impact, not impact awards, not only the like RCOMS AMs, but the civilian version of that too. I mean, we carry them around like, talking to folks, pin them, and they just follow up with the paperwork. And just seeing that and, like range ops, for instance, you know, listening to options and then going back and say, hey, director, what do you think? Or have you heard about this? And then really, and they have, and they've got some great ways ahead. And then we lay it out. And then You know, like I'll use RangeOps for as an example. We've taken a resource hit, but we've been very creative on how we manage that process. And this is, in a lot of it's from bottom up refinement, as it should.
It's one, I think it's like anything, like people just want to be seen.
Yeah.
And when you get out there, you realize that we have some lower ranking, whether it be green suitors or in the GS side, that have incredible ideas.
Yeah.
So it's just no one's ever asked.
Yeah.
So sometimes just us having a conversation about football, they say, hey, I have an idea about something. And then hear it and you're like, oh man, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
We need to do that. Or a lot of people tend to suffer in silence, but when you go out there and talk to people, you realize that there's what might be a big issue to someone is a real easy fix for us.
Yeah.
That we would have never known if we didn't just get out there and talk to people.
Yeah, or it could be a bigger issue because we didn't know, like it wasn't clearly articulated, or it hadn't been suggested before, and it could have deeper, I'd say problems, but it could have deeper meaning and some things that can really benefit the organization. You know, you talk about presence, you know, like we'll talk about it. Like there's a lot of things going on this month in October, right? We got Oktoberfest coming up, which, by the way, is my favorite. But before that, October 2nd is kind of a big day, right?
That changes the responsibility.
Oh, my God. And we're getting a new Command Sergeant Major, Jared English, an air defender, which is really great. So we've got a good combined fires here, if you will, with air defense and our field artillery. And so really excited to have him coming on board. And so for the next podcast, he'll be in the seat with us as we talk with Ratch and how we're going to – so for the next podcast for everybody – with Ratch, they're gonna come in there and talk about how we prepare for the Warrior Marathon in March, which is very exciting.
Oh, nice.
More to follow that. It's gonna be great. But really, like, you know, so we got Oktoberfest, we got a run, but the Gridiron Challenge is really, what do you think about? It goes back to what you just said. That was something we did, then it went away, and then the team at the Patriot Club's like, hey, this has been making, one, it was a lot of fun for everybody, making us some money. And it's a great social event. You know,
it gets people together. The community loves it. This year, I know Southwest Toyota got a bunch of gift cards they're giving out every week for the winners for college and NFL.
That's right.
And it's just a fun time, and it gets people in the Patriot Club to learn the options you have at the Patriot Club as well.
Yeah.
I did not do well 2 weeks ago, so we'll see how I did this week.
I flubberboated.
Yeah, I fell right off the top 10. So
hey, I was number two. Yeah. I was tied for number two, and then for NFL, and three for college, and then
I did not do well. But it's good to see how many people are participating in it.
Yeah.
Mickey over at RMO, she is absolutely crushed. I think she's top of the leaderboard on both.
Yeah.
I am a little jealous.
Yeah. She does some really good research.
Gridiron Challenge is a great time. Everyone loves it. So everyone listening, come out Thursdays.
Yeah, 1800 at the Patriot Club.
To the Gridiron Challenge.
You know, the good thing about the Patriot Club, this year, you and I had talked about this and make it the year of the Patriot Club. We've had some fits and starts, but we're ramping back up with what we want to do there. And the Sheridan Room is getting upgraded, and that's huge.
Yeah, that's gonna be great.
Jack Daniels is sponsoring some good stuff there.
Yeah, I won't see it finished. Well, maybe we'll see like the soft opening for my farewell. Maybe.
Yeah. Oh no, it'll happen for the soft.
But yeah, it's gonna be great to see it, and I'm still be coming, showing up the Gridiron Challenges and all that, after I walk away from this job. But yeah, I'm excited for it.
I am too. I mean, Miss Sarah Gersper and, you know, our MWR director and Ethan Bryan are down there now. Yeah,
just crushing it.
He officially moves in there on October 2nd. So we've got a lot, we've got a crew there that's really going to really take that into the next level. Really excited. And again, it goes back to listening to what your organization wants. And we get a little impatient with some of the processes because they're old processes. That's what I would offer up is for those out there, whether you're in a garrison or in some other command, whether it's a force comm TRADOC, some of our processes are just antiquated. This is always how we've done it. Or, this is what the process is 20. You know what I don't do? I'm a gamer nerd. I don't have a 20-year-old TV or a 20-year-old system. That thing's gone the way of the dodo.
I don't garrison or not, it's the worst line in the military is we've always done it this way.
Yeah.
It's okay to change stuff.
It is, because things evolve, like a gaming system or TV. I love 20-year-old cars, but they're antiquated. I'd like to have a new one. Well, I mean, I don't, but, you know, but you gotta evolve these things. And oftentimes you get impatient, like, oh my God. So then and I like how you do a lot of this. We figure out ways to tweak the process to make it more efficient and faster.
Yeah, just make it make sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's that easy. It's not always that easy, but when the decision is made, right? When the decision is made, we're all on board, right? You just got to do it. You're it's violence of action on the decision, right? And we're all in.
Man, the commander makes the decision. That's it. Just run with it.
Yeah. And it's really great to see that here, especially at Fort Sill, as we're growing. The fires community is growing. We're part Absolutely. Of the halves, right? When you look at the army structure. And so for us, we're looking at, and we're getting all kinds of stuff coming here, and you and I are looking at with our directors, like, how are we going to house all these folks?
Yeah, and how fast ADA exploded is insane. They opened the floodgates on ADA, and God bless recruiters out there in America, because they did their job.
It's like a 30% increase, right? And then some of the other increases in the artillery community, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and there we'll eventually plateau over the next few years, but we got to get there first. And to do that, man, this goes back to our strategic plan. You know, like a quality of life is our one line of effort. Then, you know, infrastructure, installation readiness, and then installation infrastructure, and then energy. So as we look at those four lines of effort, really looking out the next 5, 10, 15 years, how do we, as the Army transforms fairly rapidly.
You know, that's another prime example. You know, what did you think you were getting into? I didn't. Like, if you know,
I didn't see that
in 2016, I was literally dropping bombs for ODAs.
Yeah.
And then in 2025, I'm trying to figure out how to get bed sheets and pillowcases for an additional 180 people. Right?
So, and then cleaning houses where, you know, feral hogs, not feral hogs, but a farm hog lived in.
It goes back to you gain a respect for what our people do. Because, you know, when we were coming up in the Army, like, stuff just happened. Like, I showed up to a range, and it just happened.
It's magic range ops dust.
When I walked into barracks and bays, there were sheets and pillows and blankets, and it just appeared out of, you know, magical elves made it all happen.
Yeah.
Then you realize, like, hey, DPTMS and DPW and LRC did a lot of work behind the scenes that we never would have saw until you become a garrison.
That's right.
Like, I never was like, hey, I got to come up with, we need 800 more mattresses. Like, I never thought I'd have that problem in my life in the Army.
So. You know, it's funny, as we talked to that with the senior commander the other day, and he said the same thing. He's like, I would never think or would have thought to sit down with a brigade commander in the Tradeca Force Com world and talk about washers and dryers.
Yeah.
I mean, so for all those out there, if you don't know how to use a washer and dryer, please figure it out.
Teach your kids.
You don't have to stuff
please teach your kids
all the things that you have dirty into one washer, one load. You can split them out. It's okay. And you don't have to put the entire box of laundry detergent or like five pods.
It happens.
It's okay. Yeah. If you don't think that's what we're, it happens. You don't have to like, just don't. You
happens a lot.
It's insane. Oh, and for garrison commanders and command teams out there, hey, if you're going to buy washers and dryers, hey, man, don't get the Walmart brand. Get you the industrial brand.
Yeah.
That Walmart brand will last you 10 minutes.
I think that's an Army-wide thing. I made the same complaint when I was at other installations. Like, we order regular washers and dryers and don't realize that these things are going to be running 24/7 every day.
Every
day. And yes, there are kids who have never wash clothes a day in their life until they come in the Army, and they literally sit on the lid to make sure it closes and put 9 pods in there and like, oh, I'm going to make sure they're extra clean. All right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How come it's not clean? How come it's not drying? Well, take some of that stuff out. No, it's great. I love it. And so what are your, you know, for year one, what, you know, we talked about what you wanted to do, but What are some great, like from year one to year two, how have you evolved as a, you know, a garrison, really a brigade command sergeant major for this really great installation?
I think year one, I probably tried to do too much, if you will.
What is it like what?
And what I mean by that is you start to learn there's processes in place for a reason.
Yeah.
And you can't just attack everything and try to solve every problem within the first hour, right? There's reasons for that process to happen. And part is, you know, you want to make everybody happy. And you realize as a garrison, that's just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
But what's been helpful is between you, you know, last commander, Colonel P, we both had the same line of thought is, hey, the commander will tackle these five things. The CSMs, you know, we will tackle these five things, you know, however, I mean, it's an arbitrary number I just threw out there.
Yeah.
And that's helped us, you know, divide and conquer because we can't tackle everything by ourselves. It's just not. We have to divide and conquer.
Oh, it's like AER loans. Like you've been off the net because you had your back spinal on a Luca Brasi.
Some nerve endings burned.
Yeah, Luca Brasi. Do you like someone beat you in the baseball bat in your back?
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, and so like past couple of days, like AER loans would come in. I'm like, okay, sir, what is your recommendation? I'm like, I don't know. Like, Sergeant Major normally does this. So I'm dialing you up while you're on your painkiller high. I'm like, hey,
should be, you know,
hey, Sergeant Major, how does this work?
You know, you should be thinking up and out. And, you know, let the Sergeant Major worry about barracks and housing and AR loans. That's really should be our lane anyway. Mm. You know, you should be worried about, hey, how do we become energy independent? You know, how do we become energy resilient? How do we get the garrison to 2040,
yeah.
Tackling the senior commander's intent. And you can't do that in a garrison, especially with just the daily problems that arise. You gotta split it up. Because we can't, or you'll just fail if you try to be everywhere at the same time.
No, you know, and it's really great. I often hear people say, well, I'm going to empower my non-commissioned officers. I hate that saying. I'll say it again. I hate that saying. You don't empower NCOs. They're already empowered through Army regulations, guidance, customs and courtesies, you name it, and then just by positional power, right? What I often tell people is it's not empowering. It's delegation of authority, or at least giving your subordinates in general, whether it's sergeant major or director or young lieutenant, whatever, give them the decision space to do things and then back them up. Like, I remember you and I have talked about this with a couple, like, for instance, like, you know, Sergeant Major Pearson said, we're going to do XYZ for barracks. I'm like, okay, we'll do that. We wanted to hear from you. I'm like, well, do what Sergeant Major said. Like, we have zero daylight in between us. Now, you and I have some great discussions behind, like, hey, does this make sense? Or, hey, Sergeant Major, what do you think about this? Or, hey, sir, what do you think about that? And then we'll, like, okay, this will, a lot of times, it's once we kind of figure this out, it's, okay, then we'll move out and draw fire.
That's the other thing some people need to realize is you may not agree with a decision from one of us, but I promise you, we've talked it out.
Yeah.
That conversation has happened. You may not have seen it. We will never disagree in public.
Yeah.
We've disagreed plenty behind a closed door.
Oh, yeah.
That's, you should. You should never be in an echo chamber anyway.
You want a challenge agent, and not a challenge agent like someone always challenging you. You know, you don't need that.
Yeah.
But you do want someone to say, hey, have you thought about this from a different perspective or, you know, in a legal aspect or you name it. But yeah, you're right. When that decision is made, this is for everybody. When that decision is made,
it's made
and execute. But that's why it has not happened often. But when it does, hey, you know, the Sergeant Major said, okay, great.
We've heard over time, you know, he's just a CSM, which is a laughable statement that I've heard a couple of times.
You know, way in the future on your headstone, it's going to say William the Goat Pearson. He was just a CSM.
I would actually love that.
No. Tamara, let's make this happen.
That is just a CSM.
Oh, that would be great.
You know, it's funny. Like, I laugh at it. When Tamara hears it, my wife, she gets just irate.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to tell her, like, if I'm not worried about it, you shouldn't worry about it. But it's just her being a good partner in life.
Oh yeah.
But she gets furious. You know, it's funny, like we've talked about before, you know, you have an identical twin brother that's 3-star nominee CSM, a sister-in-law who's an absolute rock star. Mm-hmm. And I love talking about it with them too, because they're, you know, Tom also, I was talking to him last night playing games, and yeah, we're laughing. He's like, yeah, that's such a silly statement.
It
and
is.
Anybody who's been in the military long enough knows there's no such thing as just the CSM.
No, you're not, you know, this is a good, I like how you said that. So you're not, I want to say about 10, 15 years ago, I was listening to, and I don't remember who the person was, but I remember this statement. Nobody is just anything.
Yeah.
Like, you're not just a lieutenant. You're not just a private. You're not just a garbage truck driver. You're not just a PAO. You are part of a team that's doing things. You're a part of a team that is executing your mission set to make your team successful in your operation that you're doing.
Yeah.
So when you're like, well, you're just this, you're not. Or you're only this. No. You're part of an organization that is churning to make mm-hmm. things happen. And so when I hear that, you're just this, and I always stop him like, you're not just anything. Or when somebody goes, well, I'm just a this. You're not. You are a cog in the wheel that if that cog gets taken out, it may cause some problems.
You know, just
or
a private.
Will cause problems.
Just a private won a Medal of Honor in World War II. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's like, oh, hey, how many jumps do you have? I just got 3.
Sicily.
You got a mustard
Salerno.
Yeah, I just had a few, you know. Yeah. Yeah, but you got a mustard stain, right? You yeah. know, on top of your jump wings. You know, so it means you jumped in combat. You know, but I've only had like 3. You know, but you know, you got folks that have had hundreds of jumps, but not in combat, right? Mm-hmm. I just had. You know?
Yeah, I don't. That's
yeah. Impressive. People are being very humble when they do that, though. Don't get me wrong, but no one is just anything. You're mm-hmm. part of an organization or a team, whatever level. It could be a team of one. It's not really a team. Team of two.
Team of two.
If you're a team of one, it's kind of weird. Maybe it's you and your thoughts. That could be a team, I guess.
then you're just crazy.
Could be. Maybe. Maybe I'm crazy, I guess. No, it's good. And so as you move into the second year, what did that look like? I know you just went from be a senior mentor at the pre-command course or the Garrison pre-command course. You know, and I know one of the things that I heard going there and I've heard from pre-command courses before is the first 90 days and the last 90 days in command or in you know, as a command team, you're spinning like, let's go, let's do all the things. And then it's the first 90 days and the last 90 days, same thing. And everybody's just waiting for it.
Yeah, I think it's different with a Garrison too, though, because when you first come into Garrison, everything is such a fire hose of a new language that you're learning.
Yeah.
So I really think your first 6 months is just learning this whole new,
yeah.
different side of the Army, different language, which is why I like how we are kind of falling into it. It's really lucky how we're doing it. You know, when I first came in, Colonel P had already been in the seat almost about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And now when you came in, I already been in the seat an hour. So at least there's always one of us yeah. who's been in it a little bit and has now kind of learned who's who in the zoo and understands the language. And I think so your second year in Garrison, now you're really running because now you're understanding how all the cogs spin and work. And yeah. you're understanding all the Garrison-isms, I really should say MCOM-isms. Installation Management Command. You're now understanding how everything works.
That's right.
Now you're dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Now you can really affect stuff. But you know, your first year, I mean, especially me as a Garrison CSM, a lot of times problems would arise. I'd be like, hey, who do I call for this?
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea. Now I know, hey, out there, 99% of my problems, I'm like, I better call Paul Gatby. Yeah. and if I don't know, he's going to know who I need to call about this one.
Or I found like when I talked to our resource management folks, you talk about like language, like that's a language within a language.
Yeah.
You talk financial language, like, oh, we're this MDEP and this IPEG. I'm like staring, I'm like, what PEG?
Yeah. Like, yeah. My brain has stopped working. Right?
Like TT who? Like yeah. SS what? You know? And so I this TT that, you know? And so having that, Duolingo 5x8 card. Be like, hey, give me a sec. I need to find out what you just said.
I mean, it's just like when I was at the Gary Sapirkin Band course, and it was just acronym
soup.
And I was like, I don't know what it is. They're like, ISR. I'm like, oh, I know that. Intelligence Surveillance Report. It's like, no, Installation Status Report. It's like, quit saying new acronyms.
I have no idea what's going on.
But like I said, when you get into your second year, now you're understanding how everything works and who to talk to. And that's when you can really affect more change, because now you can know how to get to things faster and solve problems quicker.
Yeah. And then having that good transition with the next team, you know, and so, I mean, things will change, you know, as they do. I mean, we're always in a transitional period for everything that we do, but having something codified and laid out makes it easier than having the ability with a little bit of time for transition. That's how I would offer this up for folks through a transition, especially in a garrison. Don't expect a 2-week transition to go well. No. I'm not saying that because I'm not saying that lightly. I'm saying that because it's a different beast than what most folks are used to. And so I was really fortunate to be here as the assistant FA commandant for a year. And you know, and I talking to Jim P and you, and like, hey, I'm not jumping on any of these grenades. I'm sitting back here, but having the ability to sit down with the two of you, you know, as an outside perspective and kind of absorbing it was very helpful. But that doesn't often happen. I'll tell you, this is like at least a 30-day transition window you got to have.
I agree. I replaced Chris Taylor.
Yeah.
And the best thing he did was gave me a really good left seat, right seat with everybody in the garrison that I tried to mirror for Sergeant Major English. Hopefully he feels the same way. Because you need that time to, one, get the fire hose for an hour of something completely new.
Yeah.
And then to be able to go home and, like, process it, come up with some questions and ask the next day. So I really do believe that, too. You know, in the regular Army, you can come into an organization
that you're familiar with.
Yeah. Give me a week. Put everything in one folder. I'll figure it out. And you can run with it. You know, artillery is artillery. That's the easy portion.
Yeah.
Garrison's a whole different beast.
It's
just something you're not used to.
Yeah, it's a meandering large beast. It's not. I don't think there's anything comparable.
No.
I mean, you're essentially for you, you're like a deputy mayor. I'm like the mayor, and the CG senior commander is like the governor.
Yeah, like I said, I think the best way to quit is you're the mayor and I'm the city manager. And that's just not something you've done in the Army up until this point. And, you know, I think it's a little bit easier to be a garrison CSM, if you will, if you were like an MP, because you kind of grew up on the MCOM DES side of the house.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Even then, it's just a different beast to learn, and you need a lot more time to left seat, right seat, and really take it all in before you take the seat.
I agree. And you know, like you said, like when I started absorbing a lot of this stuff, and again, I was fortunate to be here for a year, but really didn't really, probably about 6 months out, I really started asking y'all a bunch of questions, y'all, and we started sort of like these little micro transitions, if you will. But, you know, when you said, you know, hey, you had the opportunity to sit down after work and like think about questions. But what was really helpful is when I was doing it, and what we've done with Jared, because he's moved right across the street.
Yeah.
Is we're able to kind of chat after work or even on the weekend because we're right there. We're literally like 20 feet apart.
Yeah.
And for me, though, it was really helpful to sit down with you and Jim over bourbon and cigars or just hanging out with the dogs running around and saying, hey, what does this really mean?
I think you get more out of those relaxed conversations anyway.
You do. The dialogue matters.
Yeah. And like I said, that doesn't happen very often, you see, either. So to have, you know, Sergeant Major English come in, be right next door to both of us, I'll still be in the area for a little while.
Yeah.
So he can leave and like, hey, what about this? Like, how do I do this?
Exactly.
Like, we'll still be around. I'll still be around. And, you know, I'm a transparent guy. And I've even said, like, hey, there's going to be things I did that you don't like. Yeah. There'll be things that you want to change. Like, by all means, do those things. But I'm 2 years of knowledge in this job that don't be afraid after work to be, hey, I have no idea what they were talking about when it came to this. Like, when you go through your first, like, fifth war game, or all these different little, the fifth, the IPPs, all these things, you're like, I have no idea what these people are talking about. Or your first master plans meeting, you know what I mean? You're like, I have no idea what they're talking about.
What was that acronym, please?
Yeah. But now, for him to be able to come back, and, you know, Taylor is very open for me too, so yeah. Now he can come back and be, hey, they were talking about this today. I have no idea what language they were speaking about. Okay, yeah. This is what this means. This is what this means. And I think that's huge. And, you know, we're also very fortunate too. You know, like our head of barracks is a former Fort Sill Garrison CSM. Our DPTMS is a former Fort Sill Garrison commander.
Yeah.
So the knowledge here that we can lean on is incredible.
Yeah, we got a good mix of veterans and non-veterans. And getting that perspective, I think, is absolutely key. The success of the garrison, and really the installation writ large, mm-hmm. as we integrate with all the tenant units, you know, fire center of excellence all the way through to, you know, the hospital or the clinic, I guess. And then, you know, and mm-hmm. all the other, you know, all the things that are here on this installation. And so I mean, if you look at like what we've done over time, for the first couple of years for you, especially, is, there's a lot of growth here in this installation.
Oh, yeah.
And we're starting, you know, the Army's Transformation Initiative. That means a lot as a strategic support area as we look at training readiness and move forward. So, switching gears, I'm interested. So we've been doing this now for 10 months, you know, this podcast. What do you think your favorite ones so far are?
I mean, they've all been great to get our different garrison people out there. I thought the one we did with Danica Christofferson was really good, because that was a non-military person to come on.
Yeah.
And give her, and she's hyper successful, right? So it was great getting her perspective on things. And honestly, I thought the one we did with the Mayor Booker, you know, and the city manager, John Ratliff, was really good, because now we're getting the community perspective on the relationship with us and
absolutely
how everything's grown. Those are probably my two favorite.
Oh, that's cool. I think I would agree. And I like them all. And I'm not saying just because I, you know, like, fluffing everybody up, but it's good for us to bring people on. Like, I enjoyed the one with DPTMS. I mean, it's such a wide ranging thing.
It is. Operation. It's massive.
Or like MWR. We haven't actually finished with them yet. We only did half of their stuff. Because yeah. Oh my goodness, it's a huge organization, you know, and maybe in the future, I'm talking to Christine, our wonderful PAO producer behind the scenes. Maybe in November, we can do this at the Patriot Club. That would be cool. We could talk Patriot Club stuff and the second part of MWR. That'd be really great. I mean, there's a lot of really cool, my favorite things always are, I call it our blooper reels, like some of the craziness that's happened on this installation. I mean, heck, I would say the weekend after my change of command, we had like a mini hurricane here. It was insane.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. Yeah.
You know, and like we were walking around it was like knee deep water everywhere. It was insane. Or, you know, some of the, I'm trying to figure out what my favorite dirty house story is right now. There's some good ones out there.
Yeah. I mean, there's a funny side to it, but at least now we're helping leaders.
Oh, there is for sure a funny side to it.
I mean, you got the pickouts, but I mean, the birdhouse was pretty nuts too.
I mean, could you?
The giant cockatiels, no bird cage.
Two free range cockatiels. I mean, first of all, have you ever walked underneath a tree with a bunch of birds in it?
Now imagine that's your kitchen.
Yeah. What's the cement look like underneath that tree? What do you think your kitchen tiles look like and, you know,
yeah,
everything else?
Yeah.
Like, you show me a picture that I can smell.
Yeah, so that's the other thing. Working with housing and, you know, I've talked to the housing people here, and I've even talked to other property managers. When you start dealing with other people's homes, it really makes you rethink potlucks. So wow. Now, like, unless I've been in your kitchen, I am not doing a potluck.
Why is this, Sergeant Major? Do tell.
I have seen horrendous refrigerators and stoves that makes me now, like, I am never doing a potluck ever again.
Yeah, this pot I used, it's been 4 days.
And there was actually one where we went in there, not we, but the maintenance people went in there, and the kitchen, I cannot describe to you how horrible it was. And they called me and said, "Hey, Sergeant Major, they had to leave us while we did this maintenance work order. They were on their way to a potluck." And I've never texted a chain of command so fast. Whatever you do, do not eat food from this house. It will not pass the health and welfare.
Don't eat the chili.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, there was a dead cat in the couch.
That was one as well.
And not like recently dead, but like
it's been there a minute. Yeah.
It had been in that couch for a while dead. Like I don't understand that one. That was kind of weird. And then, you know, the free range cockatiel, the pig one is still probably one of my top ones.
And the Maine coon cats with no litter boxes, that was an interesting one as well.
We've had several litter box moments.
Yeah.
We've had, oh my gosh, if you're in the know, you're in the know. But yeah, we've had several litter box moments.
It's been a fun ride.
It's been, I'm telling you, man, you got to put this book together, yeah. Dirty House, coffee book. Yeah. It's like scratch and sniff
version.
Yeah. Oh my God, like pop up. Oh my God. All right, we're doing this. We got to find a publisher. If there's someone out there who wants to do this, get in touch with Command Sergeant Major William Pearson. Oh, Bill the Goat Pearson, because, oh my God, that would be the greatest scratch and sniff pop up. I would buy it. You could be like Kramer on Seinfeld. We're out there, and you're Regis and Kathleen talking about your coffee book.
Oh yeah, I like this idea. I might run with it. Looking at Christine's face, I don't know if she's a fan of it.
Oh, she's dying over here laughing like, oh my God. Or then some of the other facilities you walk into, like some of them that haven't been used in decades. You know, you walk in, you're like, oh, what happened? Or when soldiers break into it,
yeah,
oof. Like, what were you eating?
Yeah. 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 There's no need to get into that one.
Yeah.
I have seen some things, man.
It scarred me for that. I've been deployed, but I've been really scarred from this, you know?
Yeah. Abandoned barracks, far worse than Afghanistan.
Oh, my God. Like, you're just like, what happened? What happened? What? Oh, it's great. No, it's really good, though, you know, it's been a fun 2 years, and I know Joker, my dog Joker's really enjoyed hanging out with Tamara and your girls.
He's hanging out with me yesterday on the couch.
Yeah. Yeah. Making sure you were okay.
Yeah.
As I was sitting at city council, which I love me some city council. Yeah, it's good. It's a ton of fun, man. Like, but yeah, now looking forward to it. We got Oktoberfest coming up this month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with an Oktoberfest run. So we'll be tapping the keg again. Think we're going to AUSA this. It's a big deal. AER. Yeah.
Well, the third year in a row went in large installation for AER donations. That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I'll toot your horn for you. You and our AER team there with the team. And
mm-hmm.
We set a goal last year for what, 150?
I think it was 150.
And we're about 180, so. I think, is what we got, 200.
I think we got to 200. Yeah, we got to 200.
And this year we had a pretty expansive goal at 250,000 because of the Army's 250th birthday. Mm-hmm. And my word, did we crush that?
Absolutely.
Like 300,000 plus.
Mm-hmm.
Redonkulous.
And, you know, and hats off to, you know, some of the NCOs down at 434 just really stepped in as the AR folks and just crushed it, getting donations. And we're going to recognize them too at AUSA. And I couldn't be more proud of Fort Sill for what we accomplished with that.
Yeah, oh, and the veteran community, because there was a lot that came from the veteran community, which I thought was really great. And having the opportunity to go out and talk to folks about it, not just on Fort Sill, but around Lawton Fort Sill area. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very appreciative. And I mean, and the team doing that, you know, we have an award-winning boss program, Sergeant Major and Ethan Briner at that.
Yeah, well, last year we won the Gold Award from President Biden was the one they get for volunteerism, and they continue just to keep crushing it with volunteering.
Yeah.
I mean, just this past weekend, you know, we had a team out there that was helping the Red Cross install fire detectors, and some of the less fortunate neighborhoods throughout Lawton, and just couldn't be prouder of those people.
Man, volunteer, like, you know, we talk about purpose a lot. You know, I tell people, you got to find your purpose, mm-hmm. and otherwise you go wayward. I'm not talking like I want to be the best fister, I want to be the best, you know, NASCAR. Like, what is the thing that absolutely drives your train? You know, for me, it's family and service. Mm-hmm. And having those young soldiers out there volunteering, doing service for the community, like selfless service, you know, that means something. Like, that absolutely, like, it hits the, it's like the love language. It hits the feels, you know?
Yeah, I've always felt that that's the legacy you want to leave behind, too. And, you know, I was talking about it with Amanda downstairs the other day is, you know, I'll leave here, and it's the Army, right? So a month later, I'll be a distant memory. Sergeant Major English will be running with it, and the Army cogs keep moving. Mm. So, you know, and when I die one day, I don't want to be known as the best garrison CSM.
You were just a CSM.
Yeah, I was just a CSM, right? So, you know, I want to be known as, you know, a good dad, a good husband, and, you know, someone who gave to the community. That's what the legacy should be.
That's right.
I mean, so soldiering was obviously a huge part of my life. GWAT was my entire 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
But that'll still just be a blip on the radar because we all have a wear out date in the Army, and you'll be forgotten about. It's just the way it is. And the Army cogs keep moving.
Your wear out date's coming up.
Yeah, my wear out date is in 8 days.
Right? Well, at least for the garrison, yeah, in like another 6 or 8 months.
Yeah, and then you know, I move on to the civilian world, which is fine.
Yeah.
I made my mark. Time to move on. And now we'll be able to make every soccer game, archery tournament, softball game.
Yeah.
Whatever new ism my daughters are into nowadays.
And you do some hunting.
You know, do some hunting. I've also now on the board of directors for Southwest Oklahoma Red Cross.
That's so cool.
So I'll be able to continue to give back to Lawton and the Southwest Oklahoma area. So
yeah. No, it's really great. And then hopefully your back makes it that long.
Probably not. Well, you know, that's why I had the nerve endings, Mary. It'll get me a solid year of pain-freeism. I mean,
you might give some of those, you know, brain chips in there and hook it up to some exoskeleton. You could be the new Iron Man.
I mean, that's
you
could
be the first Iron Man.
That's, like, what, legit. That's what I really want to be.
Just yeah, you should.
Next RoboCop for Lawton.
That would be epic. How do we make this happen?
I don't know. We'll have to figure it out. Talk to Elon. Give me some brain chips.
Do they change your name to Officer Murphy?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be Murphy?
I mean, I would have to be. How do you become RoboCop the first RoboCop and not
after
Murphy?
That, just RoboCop 1, the original. The other ones are kind of wonky.
Yeah, 2, maybe, but yeah.
You don't want to be Ed 209 or 208 or whatever it was.
Horrible.
Yeah, you don't want to be that one, that Robo. You want to be like Murph.
I love that we're both just nerds.
We are gamer nerds. I mean, you were a nerd now. Like, the Madre's coming into town today, and I had to get the house all situated, so I wasn't able to get on Borderlands 4. How do you like that so far?
Haven't played it. Your brother was also yelling at me to go ahead and buy it.
It's the best co-op game ever, man.
But I was playing Ready or Not all night last night, so.
Oh, the SWAT game?
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Maybe you two need to get that game instead of pressuring me to buy Borderlands.
We can do both.
It's true.
I'm down with that. I do like me some Borderlands. It's a fun, crazy, chaotic game. The movie's kind of wonky, but the game's amazing.
That's what your brother was saying. So yeah. I'll do it. It's like, fine, I'll do it.
Like, oh my God, twist my arm. One gamer nerd to another.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, and I think as we're phasing you out, because you're an old man, you're getting out of here, this is your final PT, physical fitness challenge, right? This for October. Is this we're recording it now here sometime shortly.
Yeah, in theory.
At least maybe I will. Will you cheer me on?
Yeah, I'm like, don't talk to me right now, but yeah.
It might be happening on Friday where you're like, go.
Yeah, if it's Friday, I'll definitely be cheering you on.
Oh, my
God. But we'll figure it out.
We're going to make this happen so he can be the cheerleader.
Yeah. I'll get some pom-poms for you.
There's a Bud Light commercial back in the day. Here's to you.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah, I remember.
We could do that. Yeah. Have that play in the background. That'd be great.
I like it. We will make this happen.
Oh, that'd be epic. That would be epic. All right, man. So, you know, as we're closing this out, man, what is it that for you that you know, we didn't cover as we're closing this out? Blaze Thunderfist. How did we forget Blaze Thunderfist?
He will be making a reappearance in the next couple of months.
Do people know Blaze Thunderfist on our podcast? I don't. Maybe we need to discuss this for a few minutes.
Maybe in the future.
Rusty Thunderstrike, the manager.
Yeah, maybe in the future, Blaze Thunderfist can be on the podcast. So,
you know, maybe in December, December's podcast is going to be with the Red Lake Duck Hunters.
There you go.
I think that it would be absolutely epic. And as the sort of band manager, Rusty Thunderstrike has to come out.
Especially since we have a new band member coming this year. So,
oh, this is going to be the first green screen one, Chris. This will be the Chris. You guys can't hear Chris, but she's right over here. But this would be, oh yeah, Blaze Thunderfist, guitar extraordinaire.
Yeah, greatest bassist of all time.
I think so. I think Tamara loves some Blaze Thunderfist.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
She's a good groupie. She's a good.
Oh my god! I love it. All right, man. So as we are getting ready to close this out, what are your command sergeant major, Bill the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Pearson, heading out final 8 days? Yeah. I'm gonna turn this over to you as final comments, advice for our podcast listeners, and go.
Advice. Ooh, don't take advice from me. That's my advice. On my way out, thank you to literally everybody that's in the garrison. You have been an absolute incredible team. I would give names, but I'll miss somebody because there's just so many of you. You made my 2 years here an absolute blast. I loved it so much. I'm retiring here. And my best advice, I've said it since, probably my first sergeant days. If the best way to be successful is stop worrying about everyone else, never try to be better than anybody else. Just try to be better than yesterday. If you just do that mantra every day, you will be successful. I find especially in the military, people try to be better than the people to the left and right of them and try to be what we call spotlight rangers. Everybody sees it. Integrity is everything. So stop trying to be better than everybody else. Just try to be better than yesterday. If you just do that, you'll be successful.
Heck yeah. And looking forward to seeing what it looks like for you in the future as a Lawtonian here.
Yeah, I will be a Lawtonian. I'm going to the FISTA, and it'll be a great time.
Yeah, it's going to be really great. And so for our listeners out there, really, again, thank you again to Command Sergeant Major Bill Pearson for all that he's done for the garrison, the installation writ large, Lawton Fort Sill. And then for next month, we're going to have our Reynolds Army Clinic. They are going to be here and we're going to discuss ways to prepare for the Warrior Marathon, other long distance training, some good dietary and nutrition and other things that we want to talk about as we banter along. It'll be absolutely fantastic.
It'll be great. And again, it'll be the new Sergeant Major English, every time you put your heart and soul in an organization, you always worry when you leave that it's going into good hands. And the amount of time I've spent with Sergeant Major English so far, I absolutely am leaving it in great hands. He's a great Sergeant Major, great husband, great father. He's got the right personality to match up with you and keep this going. So it's going to be an absolutely great time. So congrats to Sergeant Major Jared English. He's going to absolutely crush it.
Yeah, I am absolutely looking forward to having him come on board.
Yeah.
It's like everything else. It's always sad to see really great people leave. But like in the Army, you always got to onboard new folks and just spin them up and get them going.
And he's going to do a fantastic job.
I agree. So thanks again, brother. It's been an amazing ride the past year. You still live right across the street for at least the next 6 months or so. So gamer nerded up, bourbon and cigars.
Absolutely.
Fire pit. Joker's going to have a second home there when we're out and about for sure, because he and Mirko and Kathy are going to love it up. Also, he likes to hang out with your kids more than Hank's own.
Yeah, he loves Kira. So.
He does. That's kind of hilarious, actually. It's weird.
Yes. Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
It's because my house goes right up to her room and like, hey, open the door.
Like, someone open this door. I can't do it. So, all right. Hey, thanks a lot there, Podcast Land. We'll see you on the next go around. Thanks a lot, Sergeant Major Pearson. Good luck in the future, and we'll see you on the high ground.
We are America's home.